Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray once more. Dear God, may the Holy Spirit come among us. We open our hearts and minds this day. We give up all meaningless thought and meaningless pursuits. And we ask that the Spirit of God so touch our hearts and touch our minds and touch our souls, that we might be lifted up above and beyond all consciousness of fear and limitation. May our hearts and minds be flooded with light and love and grace, that from this point forward we might be as reborn. Thank you very much. Together, we all say amen. Anybody here feel that you live a life in which the Spirit of God bursts forth 100% in every relationship and in every circumstance of your life? How many can give me 100%? 90? Any 90% here? 80? Good. I was going to say, if it got much lower, I was going to say, what am I doing wrong? Okay, got 70. Okay, so how many of us would like 100%? How many of us are willing to declare 100% for this week? Well, it shall be given unto us as we give it all back to Him. God shows up for us to the extent to which we show up for Him. So if you're like me, it's like you, let's say you project onto the week ahead and you think of all your relationships and all your circumstances and all your projects and all your issues, right? And you can kind of look through the closet of your situations in your life and go, well, I give that one to God. I give that to God most of the time. This I keep. And notice how the ones we keep tend to be the ones that are most important, because this is so big I better handle it myself. Right? It behooves us to remember that the Lord who holds galaxies together could handle the circumstances of your issues. You know, it's like we sometimes forget that. And I think in this service and on Sabbath, it behooves us to think about the week ahead, to think about our lives. But I ask you to take advantage of the fellowship opportunity, and let's just take this week, and let's do the mental and emotional and spiritual work of saying, God, this week, you can have it all. Who is willing to join with me in saying, this one week, he can have it all. This one week, he can have it all. Now, let's talk about what that means. There are two ways of looking at giving our lives to God. One is in a category of magic, and one is in the category of miracle. Magic is when you ask God to be your errand boy. I hear a lot of that. We decide what we want, and we say, well, God loves me, and I can have anything I want. So, God, I want this, and God, I want that, and God, I'd like this. I'd like this kind of relationship, and I'd like this kind of a job, and I just want all these things. Dear God, please give them to me. Now, that's better than thinking he's out to eat you up and punish you. I admit that. But it's not the highest level of spiritual understanding. The highest level of spiritual understanding is not where we tell God what we want, where we ask God to serve us. The highest level of spiritual understanding is we say, God, whatever you want, I will just want to serve you. That's when miracles happen. Magic, even white magic, so-called white magic, is still self-will. And I'm suggesting that if we want the full power of God's love and triumph and victory in our lives, that this week we stop running the show completely. If we're joining a fellowship and saying, God can have this week, you know, sometimes you see a bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. Now, if you were flying a plane, why would God be the co-pilot? It's outrageous, if you think about it. Can you imagine turning to God and saying, I'll drive, but you help me? And yet that is a certain place we all get to, a certain point. But I think we need to stand firm here for moving into a deeper level of spirituality. Not one in which we have God as our co-pilot, but where we can let God be the pilot. Because is a pilot completely relaxed? I don't even know if I want my pilot to be completely relaxed. if we get to be along for the ride, if we get to be along for the ride, if we allow ourselves to take seriously this notion that we can be as little children in His arms, that we can fully relax, just as little children relax in us, just as little children know, I can just let mommy or daddy carry me, because the grown-ups know what they're doing. That is a model for us to learn about what our relationship is to be to God. We are to be as little children to God. To God, you and I are little children. To God, you and I are little children. And we are meant to be as relaxed in His arms as little children are relaxed in our arms. We are meant to be as trusting that He knows what He's doing. He knows where He's driving. A little kid gets in the car and they're not worried, oh God, does mommy know what exit to take? That's just not what they're thinking. We know that God knows what exit to take, and God knows what off-ramp to take, and God knows what entrance to take. God knows what road to take. God is the road. And a lot of times the issue is not only that we do not trust that God would know what He's doing in our lives, but even worse in a way is because we do not trust that there is a loving God who is handling the circumstances of our lives. We tend to take over the controls, we tend to take over the reins, and what happens there is we actually interfere with God's plan when we do that. So the first thing to remember is that God's plan works, but the second thing to remember is that yours doesn't. And so sometimes in life, a life of the greatest triumph is one in where we empty ourselves every day. You know, in the Zen Buddhism, they talk about the empty mind, the Zen mind, the beginner's mind. Where we go into a situation and we say, God, you know as well as I do that when left to my own devices, I tend to create a mess for myself and others. Because remember, living in this world, the ego mind, the mind which is not of the Spirit of God, speaks first and speaks loudest. And we're liable to get more support for that mind. I mean, if you have an issue with your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your lover, whatever it is, notice how easy it is to get so-called friends to agree with you that that person's not showing up for you the way they should. Look how easy it is to get other people to support us in the perception of other people's guilt. Right? And so that's what we're surrounded by. And we're constantly bombarded by a culture which tells us in myriad ways that we're not quite good enough. Because a consumer culture in some ways needs us to feel that we're not quite good enough, because that's why we have to buy this, 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 and this. So to live a life of spiritual triumph in which we're not constantly being pushed down by either the thoughts of someone's guilt or the thoughts of our own inadequacy, we have to begin every day. And it becomes a habit. The ways of God become mental habit patterns. That is why we practice. That is why we practice. That is why we pray. That is why we meditate, in order to train our minds. And one of the basic trainings is, dear God, don't let my thoughts run this thing. Don't let my attitudes, because if I let my attitudes, living on this earth, we are at a point where we instinctively go for the fearful thought. We instinctively go for the non-loving thought. We instinctively go for the judgmental thought. We instinctively go for the insecure thought, because from the time that we were born, living on this earth now, we were trained. We have been trained to think what are ultimately unnatural thoughts. Now, the spiritual journey is an unlearning. The spiritual journey is where we give up the thoughts of the world, where we give them to God. We say, God, come into my mind. The mind is like a door, and Jesus has His lantern, and He's knocking on the door. And He won't force Himself in, because that goes away the creative flow of the universe in which we are given free will. We are given free will to think whatever we want to think. That's what free will means. Will means thought. Free will means you can think whatever you want to think. However, the basic building block of this universe, as created by God, is cause and effect. You think it, so it shall be given unto you. So if you think with fear, fear is what you're going to experience. You think with love, love is what you're going to experience. You can't say to God, look, I want to hold on to my fearful thoughts, but help me feel good. He will not violate His own law of cause and effect, which is the building block of all creation. Rather, we ask God to enter us at the causal level. We say to Jesus, I open the door of my mind into that secret chamber that we read about in Scripture, into the secret places where I'm thinking my deepest thoughts, feeling my deepest feelings. Into those places I invite the Holy Spirit to enter. And so we go into those places, and we say, dear God, I open up. And it's almost like you recognize Jesus says, okay, that thought. And Jesus picks up that thought and says, yeah, that's very loving. That's forgiving. I'm going to put it back in your mind. That thought. Ooh. Now, why would you be jealous of her? Oh, you're jealous of her because you think, you've been taught by the world to think that there's so many pieces of the pie, and so if she has a piece of the pie, you have less. You don't understand the spiritual principle that the more there is of love for anyone, the more there is for everyone. Therefore, you're stuck in this place. You're stuck in this place, and even though you might not behave in a nasty way towards that girl, you're putting out vibes towards her that are not particularly nice. She feels them on some level. They're tearing down her nervous system, and they're not doing you any good either. Now, Jesus says, since you have invited me into your mind, let me tweak you in this area. Because you have invited me, let me help you recognize that you are living in the fear of a child that is unnecessary. Let me teach you that my love for other people, for other women, for other men, is as great as my love for you. Let me teach you that there is enough for everyone. Let me teach you that the genius in you is equal to the genius in her, is equal to the genius in him, and that that genius and that brilliance I have placed in all my children. And that to the extent to which you seek, even on the level of your thought, to limit the good of anyone, to that extent your good is limited, he says, let me save you from those delusions. That is the meaning of a savior. There would be no savior if there were no need for one. The purpose of a savior is to save us from our own negative thoughts. The purpose of a savior is to save us from our own negative feelings. The purpose of a savior is to save us from our own limited consciousness. And yet we open up our consciousness and we give it all to him. So basically, the universe is run according to a kind of scientific law. Just as there are laws of the objective universe, there's a law of gravity. And if I drop this book, it's going to fall on the ground. Now you don't look at me and say, oh, she's so faithful to think that. She has such faith in the laws of gravity. It's not a matter of faith in the laws of gravity, I just understand the law of gravity. It is the same with the laws of thermodynamics or any other laws which rule the objective external world. Well, there are laws that rule the internal world. And it's not a matter of faith to recognize these laws. It is a matter of understanding to recognize these laws to the extent to which I'm judging someone else. And behavior is the least of it. Behavior is the least of it. A lot of times we think, well, I mean, I don't know why I'm having difficulty in this situation. I mean, I've been acting very nice. But ultimately, the universe doesn't go. Other people might be limited to a perception of your behavior, but God is not. The universe does not respond only to your behavior. The universe responds to your thoughts. So you might have your behavior together, but not your thoughts. And so our thoughts, the level of our prayers, the level of our meditations, is what will really determine what goes on this week or at any other given time. It's like God has eyes. The universe is full of eyes. No one gets away with anything. That's the thing. People think we get away with things. You know, like when you're two-faced or something like that. You think, well, you know, I fooled them. You fool no one. You might fool that person, but because you didn't fool God, it's all going to come back to you according to what you were really thinking. And the more advanced you become spiritually, the smarter people God sends your way. So you'll find people in your presence who will call you on something, and then you could even say, there's nothing in my behavior that you can say proves what you just said. And they'll answer with something like, no, but I felt it. I smelled it. I could feel it. Because that's the level of sensitivity that is now emerging on the planet. When you look at something like hate crimes didn't just emerge, they emerge from hateful talk. And hateful talk emerged from hateful thought. But just as we know that hateful thought leads to hateful talk, leads to hateful acts, and we know the power of hate on this planet, it is nothing compared to the power of love. The power of loving thought gives rise to loving talk, gives rise to loving action, gives rise to the salvation of the world. And the life of pure surrender is not where we begin the week then by saying, dear God, I want this, this, and this. It is a week in which we surrender by saying, dear God, my desire is to be who you would have me be. Become perfect as your Father in heaven would have you be. Dear God, may I be perfect. What that means is, dear God, every place where I tend to go into a thought of judgment, every place where I tend to go into a thought of attack, every time where I go across the net and start reading somebody else's inventory instead of taking care of my own, every place where I try to in some way manipulate for what I want, thinking I know what is best.